By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
الله of Madani Channel. Welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azzurra. This program is brought to you each and every single day of the week from Mondays to Fridays. Alhamdulillah, today, after speaking about our daily topic, we also speak about one particular fruit. Which fruit we shall be speaking about today, you need to stick with us to find out. But before that, as usual, let's begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine, our morning show, our morning program. And within this program, each and every single day, we have a different topic, a new topic. What is today's topic? Now, today's topic is extremely important, but usually, after listening to the beautiful verses of the Quran, we also send salutations upon the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So let's turn, let's continue, let's move on and listen to the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina salli حضور آ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azzajal, you have listened to such a beautiful naat. And what does it remind you of? MashaAllah, my dear viewers, Alhamdulillah, we do have Abu Tasawwur Madani Sahib with us today. MashaAllah, a graduate of Jami'atul Madina. He used to be my class fellow, MashaAllah, from the first graduates of our UK Jami'atul Madina. Now, firstly, Jazakallahu khairah for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Dear viewers of Madina Channel, I'm sure you are already aware, each and every single day we have a new image, a new picture. Let's look at today's picture, then we'll come back to speaking a little about Hajj. MashaAllah, today we have a brilliant picture, tasawwur by. And I don't know if I was speaking to you about this, but MashaAllah, I remember mentioning it to Khalid by and Ammar by also, that we need to have a 1,000 countdown from 1,000 on the screen, because it said that a picture speaks 1,000 words.
You went by my phrase.
Was it your phrase?
I mentioned it because he used to tackle me everyone.
I'll give you to Tasawwur bhai. That's fine. So now we can actually put you up to the test as well. We can actually
there
put
you go
to
again.
The test. And you know, will you give us 1,000 words? That's the question. So inshallah, maybe in the future we will look towards that, or generally count the words and see who could give us the most words on the picture. Now yesterday we had an extraordinary event, but before we move to that, Tasawwur bhai, generally about Hajj, if you were to give them some advice, what advice would you give? How could they mentally prepare? How could they, you know, what should they do? Firstly, I think the first thing is get your shopping over and done with very quickly.
I think when you put like the heading shopping,
right?
So somebody who's going the first time, a lot of things will be coming to his mind. He'll be asking questions from different people, other people who have traveled. Okay, what do I need to take?
Or what do I need to take?
Etc. So this is like
okay,
a big,
then if you could advise
like
them
a big
on
question.
That.
Now, my personal opinion regarding this, I will face towards, or I will lead people towards my Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, in this regard as well, because the book that they compiled regarding
Rafiq
al-Haramain, Amir al-Sunnah, I don't know if you remember last week when I spoke, and I briefly mentioned that this is such a compilation of a book that Amir al-Sunnah has done, which is from beginning to end, and it's like somebody's holding your hand and taking you on the blessed
Allah,
journey.
Allah.
If you read this book, you've never been, you'll talk and explain to other people like you've already been on the sacred
Allah,
journey.
Allah.
That's how beautifully it's been compiled. Now in this, Amir al-Sunnah actually lists the things that you need. So when you ask one or another, people suggest this, that, so many extra things which you won't even need, etc. So you'll be overpacking. So my Nakis Rai, my weak opinion in regards to this is purchase Rafiqul Haraman,
right,
or download it and follow the list. And this, there will be some things mentioned that remember that times have changed and people used to travel like walking or on horseback, camelback, etc. And the means of things weren't there, so they were taking utensils, etc. Okay, you probably mentioned utensils.
MashaAllah, look, Amir al-Sunnat has given a list, MashaAllah. Some things may have become redundant now, you know, they're no longer required. But they begin, number one, Madini Pansura, which can be found from Maktabatul Madina. And second, the Shajra Sharif, the spiritual lineage, the tree, you can say, of your tariqah, where your sheikh, and it leads to, you know, from his sheikh to his sheikh to his sheikh, etc. The third is this book itself, Rafiqul Haramain. Take this with you, and you get a small version of this. You can get a pocket version of this, or nowadays everybody has smartphones, so they can just download it onto their phone and easily access it. Number four, a pen.
I'd just jump in there and mention, right, I'd also take a hard copy as well. Phones can be lost, batteries can die, etc. If you downloaded it in your phone and you took it in your phone, just, you know, worst case scenario, you lost your phone, you've lost your Rafiqul Haramain, you've lost your advisor, your teacher, your, or however you want.
SubhanAllah, JazakAllah khairah, brilliant. Another, a compass, I'm not sure if you'll need a
you
compass
won't
nowadays.
Need it now, but
yeah, because nowadays it's very easy to find out the Qibla from quite far, in fact. A small pouch to be hung around the neck. I think this is quite important.
Very, very important.
So
there's something, you know, before you read it, there's something that Amir al-Sunnah mentions in there. You mentioned in there, you know, like remedy for like headache, etc. You know, medicine.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. Also, ihram, a pocket belt, itar, prayer mat, rosary, clothes as per requirement, shawl, blanket, etc., pillow. I think nowadays people wouldn't really
a lot of these things you want. Some of these things you won't need.
Imam al-Sharif, mat or cloth to be laid on the ground. So, mashallah, there's many things here, but I think these are the most important things. I would say these, a water bottle you'll need also, especially one that could be hung around your neck. So, the pills for headache, etc. So, basically, so there's four really, really important things. If you have these, and also your slippers as well. If you have this, you wouldn't need to worry.
Indeed.
So, your ihram, your slippers, and you need to have such slippers which do not cover the instep, as it's called, meaning the top of your foot. So, the top of your foot should be empty, it should be free.
Bare.
It should be bare. There shouldn't be anything covering it. So, slippers, ihram, also a pocket belt would be good, a bag to hang around your neck, and a water bottle. I think these things are necessary, very, very important, and shall do you much good.
Some things you'll need, I mean, some things will come handy, you know, as you come into like categories of importance.
Right. Yeah.
Some things you can do with, make do without as well. Yeah. Or you
these
can purchase are, there.
Yeah.
These you'll need straight
and also
away before you.
Haramain.
Yeah.
You can't make do without it.
Yeah.
So Alhamdulillah, my dear viewers of the channel, those who are traveling on Hajj, please be prepared. In fact, you know, you're shopping, just get it done with today. Today, after watching Rise and Shine, then go do all your shopping, inshallah, and then you can spiritually and mentally prepare for your Hajj. How? When you purchase Rafiqul Haramain, then read Rafiqul Haramain. Really. Not read it when you go there. Yes, it is a guide. But you don't want to be reading everything whilst you're doing it. You want to know beforehand what to do. And then later, if you're unsure, you can have a quick look at it. And, you know, it makes things easier. Rather than when you're going there and you're trying to read a full chapter on one action. And we received a message yesterday. The message was from a brother who was known as Louis. His name used to be Louis from Ghana. And he asked for forgiveness. Now, I was doubtful as to whether he was a Muslim or a non-Muslim, especially the way the message was written. So, Alhamdulillah, after the program had ended, there was a mubaligh of ours who he contacted this individual, this mashallah, same Louis, and he spoke to him. And this Lou is from Ghana, which is West Africa. A beautiful country, mashallah. He even has his own rainforest. I learned this in geography in high school. And mashallah, ever since then I was thinking, you know, I need to travel to Ghana. Somebody of you was, Baligh of Dawat Islami, had contacted him. And then upon contacting him, speaking to him, answering any queries he had, he invited him to embrace Islam. Now that person also spoke to him over the phone. All of this was happening over the phone. And later he asked, he accepted Islam, mashallah. And the brother asked, is brilliant, the question he asked. The question he asked was, well, first he was asked, would he like a new name? And he said, yes, I would like a new name, an Islamic name. And he was asked, is there any name that you like? He replied, I want you to choose a name. And he said to Sawarbhai, choose a name with a good meaning.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. You know, somebody who's within a few minutes or so accepted Islam. And immediately they're saying, yes, give me a name, but a name with a good meaning.
Had this person been watching Madani channel before, prior to?
No. What happened was he was flicking through the channels and he saw our Rise and Shine program, mashallah. And he said he liked the topic. These were his words. Paraphrasing. He said he liked the topic, you know, be happy. How to be happy was the topic, mashallah. And he liked what we were saying. And so for this reason, he continued to watch it. And then he sent a message that please ask for my forgiveness from God.
Allahu Akbar.
So mashallah, then he was contacted. Upon being contacted, he was also given a name after embracing Islam. The name he was given was Muhammad Ibrahim. Now then, mashallah, he was asked to perform a ghusl. So after having performed ghusl, he was taught how to pray his salah. And then he performed his salah also for the time. So alhamdulillah, this was a, mashallah, you know, we ourselves are fortunate to have played a part in this. And I humbly pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the beautiful thing is that when a person accepts Islam, when he comes towards the religion of Islam, then automatically all his sins have been forgiven. So that brother asked, you know, pray for my forgiveness from God. But alhamdulillah, you know, how was that done? It was done in the best of methods. It was done in such a manner where it was promised. You know, there's no doubt that he was freed from his sins. And what's this? He's embracing Islam. The viewers of the channel. This is one of the, you know, we heard the Sawarbhai. You must have heard it also. You know, that a lot of people have watched Madini channel and they've come towards Islam. And this we've witnessed and seen firsthand now. Really, we've been witnesses firsthand that it is true, we do have non-Muslims, but mashallah, they turn to our channel, they like, you know, they listen to what we hear, they like it, they enjoy it, and then they wish to accept Islam.
Regularly, on a regular basis, Madani Bahars of people watching Madani channel, those who watch the Madani Muzakara, there's been one or two instances where, during the Madani Muzakara, where somebody messaged in and then accepted Islam. This may be the first for the UK, but there's
Subhanallah. So
opens doors for many other opportunities.
Allahu Akbar. Another, you can say a shout out to mashallah Muhammad Ibrahim. I'm hoping he's watching now also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly bless him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for his sake. Inshallah.
May Allah Azzawajal grant him success in this world and the hereafter. And also, most importantly, may Allah Azzawajal grant him steadfastness.
Exactly, grant him steadfastness. Because when a person accepts Islam, and then, because it's new to him, isn't it? So first it seems a little difficult, you know, what do I do? You know, what am I supposed to do here? What am I not supposed to do? So he needs a guide, he needs a lead also. So inshallah.
A lot of times people face a lot of difficulties initially.
Allah.
And maybe even it comes to a point that a person even thinks that, well, I don't have taken on so much difficulty.
Allah.
But you need to keep steadfastness.
But also there's ease and there's satisfaction and there's hope and there's everything perfect within Islam, alhamdulillah. And this is why we are proud to be Muslims, aren't we? Alhamdulillah, it is the most beautiful of religions. Anyhow, mashallah, we have another topic today. The Sawarbhai, did you take a good look at today's...
I didn't really get a good look. No, I was just going to mention that even our Creator mentions that after difficulty, That would be easy.
Yes. Inna ma'al usri yusra. You know, that after every hardship, my dear viewers, upon every hardship comes ease. Yes, ease. You know, you will suffer difficulties, but ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall grant you ease. Now let's take another look at today's picture. Surah Sabr Bhai, what do you think of today's picture? Shall I mention it? Do you wish to mention it? You have, what do you call that, rhinoceros?
Rhinoceros.
Generally we call that a rhino, don't we?
A rhino,
rhinoceros,
yeah,
right?
A rhino, it's got a picture board on a stand in front of it.
Or, it's like an art board, isn't it?
Art board, yeah, that you draw, paint.
It's painting.
And a few pictures have been painted. There's a couple that have been painted and standing next to it, maybe for drying, I don't know, whether it is painting.
It seems like a paint because he has the...
the palette, they call it.
So you know all those terms and you don't know his painting. Come on to Sabr Bhai. Right, subhanAllah.
So the rhino's painting a third picture, already painted two pictures. Now, it is fairly distanced, but it seems like a pathway or something. Seems like I can see a path.
Right, okay.
That's leading to... Up. Can't see where it's leading to. It's basically leading upwards. Upwards, in the upward direction, you can say. Or forwards, should I say.
I don't think that's it matters, but continue.
And then you've got a nice...
you've got a nice
bright,
tree in the background.
You've got a nice tree, and you've got a nice... A scene in the background,
an orange
bright
sky.
Orange sky, yeah, so bright.
Have you ever seen an orange sky, full on orange like that?
It's maybe sunsetting.
Yeah. Have you ever seen how it's like a full on orange sky?
Well, yeah. When it comes to on a nice day, a hot country, when the sun's setting, you do get that.
Anyhow, that's our picture, my dear viewers, on the new channel. Please do send in what you
is that
think
a river? I think it's
represents.
A river bank as well, I think it looks like.
Sorry?
I think it seems like he's the rhino is at a river bank, maybe? Is that water in the background? I don't know.
If the picture could be shot full screen, it doesn't seem like there's water to me. It just seems like half desert, doesn't it? Gee, so my dear viewers of Madani Channel, please do send in what you think this picture represents. What do you think this picture means? Why is it that the illustrator, why is it that the painter, why did he paint this picture? What is he trying to show? What is he trying to tell us? You know, source analysis, as you may have done at school. This is what you need to tell us, and also you, the Sabr Bhai, inshallah Azza wa Jal. I look forward to your answer today. Now, alhamdulillah, today we have a brilliant topic. And today's topic, my dear viewers of Madan Channel, is about guests. Guests, really, is beautiful. You know, hospitality. Alhamdulillah, Islam teaches us to care for our guests. Now, many would be thinking, again, this was last week, you know, for those who are not watching last week, that I've got so much food in front of me. I've even got a nice, beautiful pineapple right there. But, you know, the Sabr Bhai doesn't have anything in front of him.
But he's not sharing. Sharing is caring.
Allah Akbar. No, alhamdulillah, we always do offer the Sabr Bhai. The Sabr Bhai, what would you like to have? Half a banana? Half, or would you like one piece? I don't know what you call it. Is it called a segment?
Clementine.
Or the orange. This is a tangerine or a mandarin, I think it's called.
Clementine as well, I think they call it, the name for them as well.
Yeah, there's so many names.
So many names, isn't
it? You know, there's so many names.
I like the word kinnu.
Yes, I love the word kinnu as well. Why do you like it?
It just sounds good.
Allah, it is, doesn't it? It just reminds me like of a child, a cute kid. I don't know why.
It's like a cute name for him.
Allahu Akbar. So. Anyhow, alhamdulillah, yes, we are speaking about guests, being hospitable. Now, we are speaking about guests. How should we treat our guests? What does Islam teach us about guests?
Regarding guests, there's so many incidents that come to mind. There's one incident I just want to mention, and within this incident there's such beauty within this incident in itself. And on one occasion, a guest arrives into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of mankind, and so you've got a guest here, and you've got a host, which is the best of hosts.
Allah, Allah,
Allah. Allahu Akbar. while Prophet a guest arrives in their court, they ask the household, the mother of our believers, radiallahu ta'ala anha, to bring some food for the guest. They are informed, the Prophet are informed that there's nothing to eat in the house. The being that has keys to all the riches.
Allah.
And when we look at this side, where there's no food in the home. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go towards their companions and they make an announcement and they call out that who will attend, who will host this guest of mine.
Right.
So one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up and says, "Labbaik ya Rasulullah, may my mother and father be sacrificed."
Allah, subhanallah.
So they take this blessed guest, I'd say.
Allah.
Because it was a guest of the, not any ordinary person.
You know, it's that guest whose host is the greatest of mankind,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they take this guest home. When they arrive at their house, they also mention to their wife, who would have been a companion of the Prophet right. as well, that is there anything to eat? She mentions to her husband that there's only little food which is sufficient for our children. Yeah. If you follow this on, and just the thought of it builds, this Allah feeling Allah. That builds up inside your heart. So she says there's only a little amount of food, and it's just sufficient for our children.
Right.
But then what she's advised by her husband is that put the children to sleep. So she does as she's told. She puts the children to sleep on an empty stomach.
Allah.
And then she prepares that food and lays it down on the food mat for this guest. Whilst they're sitting, so this guest is waiting for the host to sit with so they can... This was something we've sort of lost nowadays, but in the olden days, this was like a norm that people would sit together, or they would sit with their guests and they'd eat together. So the guest is waiting for the host to come and sit. So this Sahabiya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes close and the means of correcting the light, because there were lamps or candles or whatever that right. the means were of light, with the reason of correcting it, they had to turn out the lamp. The Sahabiya, turn out the lamp. And the reason behind turning it off is that the host cannot find out whether we are eating along with the guest or not.
Allah.
Because of the short, because she was aware of the shortage of the food, and if the guest, while is consuming, while is eating, notices that the host is not joining in, maybe pull his hand back, maybe stop eating.
Allah.
And to avoid this, they switch the lamp off.
This Sahabiya switches the lamp off.
Sahabiya radiallahu anha, she switches the lamp off.
Allah.
This, out of courtesy. That's all you could name it, couldn't you? Right. Courtesy. That this guest
yes,
eats to his full, to his fulfillment. So the lamp is turned off, the guest eats, and the night passes. Now, on the following morning, when this, blessed companion radiallahu anhu, going to the court of the best of mankind, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the knower of the unseen, have a smile. They're smiling Allah. Towards his companion, and then they actually narrate. They mention because that they knew what happened, and that Allah Azza wa Jal actually liked this act of this household.
Allah.
And there's actually an ayah which. In a sense, indicates towards this, where somebody is needy of something, but he sacrifices his needs for others.
There's so many lessons to learn from this. One is that firstly, it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, it was their guest, wasn't it? That person was the guest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what we learn from this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have any food. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't have any food in his house. Now, my dear viewers of Madinah channel, this is the greatest of mankind.
Allahu
Akbar. This is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that individual who has the keys for the world. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him everything he wishes. He's that person who performed so many miracles. Any times, you know, so there was a time where there was so many companions, thousands of companions, there was no water, so he brought water from his fingers. You know, whenever he wished to gain food, he would place his blessed saliva into the food, and that food would be multiplied. You know, they would continue to take that food out and feed thousands of people. This is that individual who, of himself, for himself, my dear viewers, there was no food at home. He remained hungry. Allahu Akbar, he remained hungry. Although he was the king of all kings. Now we had kings, but this was the king of all kings. And he had no food for himself.
And something which I've actually missed, which when the Prophet made the announcement that who will host this guest,
right.
There's something which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that whoever hosts my guest,
Allah,
I will grant him, I'll give him the good news, I'll give him the glad tidings of paradise.
Of paradise. You see, he can give him paradise. This is
so look at this. It's like weighing both ends, isn't it? You know, like you just mentioned, where they got the keys to all the worlds, and it mentions that Allah is the giver, and I am the one who distributes.
Subhanallah. So Allah gives and the Prophet hands out to the rest of the
distributes.
People.
And so from this look, we're looking at that one end of, I don't know whether it's nice to put it like the one end of the stick, or from one proportion on one side where the guest has come to the Prophet and there's no food in the home to host this guest. And then yet here the Prophet an announcement.
It's to teach the people, wasn't it?
SubhanAllah.
It's to teach the people, otherwise undoubtedly the Prophet can bring food.
Inshallah, as we progress and further, other things will, inshallah, unravel or open up.
He didn't just leave it there. He didn't just leave it there. He took it to his companions. And then what did he give his companions in return? The best of all foods. The best of all drinks. That water or that drink which is sweeter than honey, whiter than milk. You know, the Prophet ﷺ granted him Jannah, my dear viewers, of Madinah. Yeah, yeah. This was the Prophet ﷺ who lived such a simple life. Such a beautiful personality he was. He lived such a simple life. Where he was offered mountains of gold. But he rejected it all. He rejected it all and he wished to be a slave. Just a slave. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madinah, really, it's a beautiful lesson. We are Muslims, alhamdulillah, even in this day and age. MashaAllah, this is one brilliant thing. Even in this day and age, Muslims are known to be the most hospitable.
SubhanAllah.
You know, whenever you go to a Muslim country, whenever you go to a people who are Muslim, they're also hospitable. They're like, yeah, come on, come inside, you know, have some food. They'll feed you. Allahu Akbar. You know, when I went to Thar, my dear viewers, there it is over 50 degrees centigrade.
Allah.
Extremely hot, and people didn't have no water.
Allah.
People don't have no water. Their children are suffering from, you know, they're not able to grow. Children are not able to grow due to the dirty water. And how bitter it is, you can't swallow that water. Really, if you put it in your mouth, you'll spit it out. This is the state of that water. And even that they don't have. That's something they have to subside on. If they get a little bit, they're happy. Now, when I went there to Surabaya, you know, I went to a person invited me to come eat at his house. And, mashallah, you know, for people that have to go through soot for water, they brought a plate and they offered a glass of water.
Allah.
Really?
This reminds you back to this incident where somebody doesn't have something himself.
For themselves.
Or they have that minute amount.
Allah.
But yet their jazba of hospitality is such that they will want to sacrifice that the little bit that they've got. And this is what Islam teaches.
This is what they give. And this is what Islam teaches us, really. Kindness. Being kind to each other. When a Muslim brother is in need, helping a Muslim brother, when he feels despondent, when he feels hopeless, when he has any problem, then help that Muslim brother. This is Islam, alhamdulillah.
When a Muslim is down, you help him to rise.
Allah. Someone falls, yes, you help him get up. Alhamdulillah. This is what Islam teaches. Yeah. Let's move to our reminder for the day.
Okay.
My dear viewers on the channel, let's move to our reminder because we are going on quite a long time. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A great saint of his time, Sayyiduna Abu Ja'far bin Khattab rahmatullah alayhi states, once a beggar came to his doorstep and he asked for some help. The great sheikh asked his wife if he had something to give to the beggar. His wife replied, we only have 4 eggs. He said to his wife, give them 4 eggs to the beggar. And she did. The beggar took 4 eggs and went. After a while, a friend of the saint came and gave them a basket full of eggs. The sheikh asked his wife, how many eggs are there in the basket? She replied, there are 30 eggs. The sheikh asked, you gave 4 eggs to the beggar. So by which calculation there are 30 eggs in the basket? She replied, there are 30 unbroken eggs and 10 broken eggs. Now scholars say regarding this parable that when the wife gave 4 eggs to the beggar, from them 4 eggs, 3 eggs were unbroken and 1 egg was broken. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave them 10 times back. So in return of 3 eggs, they were given 30 unbroken eggs. In return of 1 broken egg, they were given 10 broken eggs. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is immense. In addition to granting us reward in the hereafter, at times, He Azza wa Jal also showers His mercy in the world. He Azza wa Jal shows clear signs so that people get inspired and motivated. As obvious from this parable, it has been mentioned in Quran Pak translation, for the one who brings 1 good deed are 10 like it. In the commentary, Sayyiduna Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmatullah alayhi stated, the one doing 1 good deed will be given the reward of 10 deeds. However, the reward is not limited to 10. In fact, it is mainly depending upon Allah Azza wa Jal's will. He Azza wa Jal may grant 700 times or even countless rewards. This matter of reward is dependent on the mercy and bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah. From this story we learn that if someone comes to you for help, doesn't matter how much you have, do not return the person empty-handed. Give them however much you can. We also learn from this beautiful story that if someone gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sometimes Allah azza wa jalla blesses a person in the world as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability of spending our wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amin bijahi an-nabiy al-amin sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was the reminder of the day to survive. And mashallah, today, coincidentally, that is, the reminder falls brilliantly with our topic.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar, where, you know, an individual, and it's true, isn't it? Undoubtedly, if you are going to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you more.
Subhanallah.
This is something which, you know, is alhamdulillah, we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have this belief, alhamdulillah, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give us more. This is the case.
And I think there's an incident springs to mind regarding return of tenfold, and where something comes back to a person and it's not the amount, and he says, no, this can't be for me. So he returns that basket back, and then when it's returned, or it comes with the correct amount, they mentioned that that person had taken one for himself, and that was Allah. The reason, and that was because whatever that somebody gives in the way of Allah, Allah will give that person back tenfold.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, give them back tenfold.
SubhanAllah.
So to Sawasa, mashallah, it is our fruit day today. We are going to go to our fruit segment. But before that, let's go to our daily hadith. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, as evident from the glorious Quran, there is no way one can even begin to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something we are just incapable of doing so. But what is within our capability is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these many blessings. And a great gesture of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using these blessings in the way they are meant to be used. Inshallah azza wa jal. In today's daily hadith, we will hear of two great invaluable blessings. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, there are two blessings which the people do not make the most of. What are those two blessings? As-siha wal-faraga. It is health and free time. Subhanallah, health and free time. Indeed, two great blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, dear viewers of Rise and Shine, shukr, thankfulness, appreciation will only begin when we use these two blessings in the way they are meant to be used. And we have been educated throughout the glorious Quran and by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Salaf Salihin in how we should make the most of our time and health, which definitely is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone can easily understand the fact that Allah ta'ala has given us time and health, and this time and health, it should serve a purpose, and that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Considering this, the question is, are we putting our good health and our free time to use accordingly? We should try contemplating and pondering over this question today, inshallah. As the saying goes, the only time we realize the true value of a gift is when we lose it. So dear viewers of Rise and Shine, let it not be that we only realize the value of these two things when it is close to depart away from us, when we are about to lose our time in this dunya, or we are about to become ill. After evaluating our time, we surely will come to realize of how much time we are wasting and how we could be putting that time to good use in accomplishing our purpose in this dunya. In the hereafter, the people of Jannah, they will regret. They will regret the free time they wasted in this world, which could have been spent in achieving a higher status, a higher position in Jannah. So let's try to make our time valuable. Every second that passes by shall never return. We must put this good time in use, primarily in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, we should try to make these gradual improvements in our lives. No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with health and leisure. Now we should at the minimum make dua in the court of Allah to allow us to embrace these blessings rightfully. Ameen, bijahi nabil ameen, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Inshallah, alhamdulillahi azzadul, that was our daily hadith. The topic of the day is guests, being hospitable.
We were just talking earlier regarding hospitality, right. In a sense, mihman nawazi. It plays a very big part in Islam and the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding hospitality. And like we heard in the incident, that there was so much to learn and so much taught, and then those actions of the companions who directly learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their best teacher, and then this hospitality was passed down through the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even though it's so many hundreds of years have passed, that hospitality has come down through into our times, and you were talking about hospitality earlier, and you mentioned about you going to Thar and how hospitable they were, and how where they sacrificed what minute amount that they had, which they needed, but their hospitality was greater than their own need.
Allah.
This is how they saw it. So they, when they had when they weighed the differences, their hospitality overweighed their need. Not like in realistically, but in according to their heart or how their teachings were. So they gave that small amount that they had to himself. And I was just going to mention further regarding hospitality that it's in a sense, it's like to Muslims, it's like a second nature. And people are full of hospitality in such extent that it seems like people compete in his brother. You've probably seen this in families and relatives when you go.
People compete.
For example, you've gone from here to Pakistan to visit family. People will compete. I want to take him home today. And they're like, it's like he's making bookings of I'll take him today. You take him tomorrow. You take him the day after. And it's like while you're out there, for example, you're there for a week. You're there for 2 weeks. Most of that time, if not all of that time, depending on how much family you've got there, it all is spent through being a guest at people's houses.
It is, subhanAllah.
You know, this
true.
Is so beautiful.
Allah.
And
alhamdulillah.
Then, and you know, when I'm mentioning to you, Sajibah Sahib, regarding competition.
Right.
Just take Pakistan, for example, our ancestral country, you can say. In Pakistan, different parts of the country are known differently for their own hospitality.
Allah.
They've got their own ways, their own means of their hospitality. It's different in different areas. And then to this extent that it's also mentioned that some areas are more hospitable than others.
Right.
So that competition environment is there. And alhamdulillah.
And it's not only Pakistan, you know.
No, this is the reason why I'm pointing towards.
It's mashallah, majority of the Muslim countries. For example, when we went to Morocco, you know, the Muslims there in Morocco. If you go to Egypt, the Muslims there. If you go to Syria, you know, all of these Muslim places, mashallah.
This is why I mentioned it was like, it's like second nature to Muslims. It's something we've inherited,
alhamdulillah.
You know, as Muslims. The reason why I mentioned Pakistan being like our experience, and that's where we associate and where we link and where we see. And alhamdulillah, I myself are from a part of Pakistan known as Kashmir.
Right.
And Kashmir or Kashmiri, as you can say, the people of Kashmir are very well known regarding their hospitality.
Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
We're trying to say that you're hospitable. And I'm not. I did give you some fruit, Sabir bhai. I have given you. You're hiding it there behind the iPad. That's the best of them all. That's the organic one. The one grown in the garden, mashallah. Anyhow, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, our next segment is our fruit segment. Let's see which fruit we shall be discussing today. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Musk melons. Never heard of them before? Don't worry. A musk melon belongs to the melon family. Like other melons, musk melon is also known for its high water content, which means that it shall help you in preventing dehydration. Again, like other melons, it is also a summer fruit. The musk melon is a species of melon that has been developed into many cultivated varieties. These include smooth skin varieties such as honeydew, crenshaw, and cassava. Calorie-wise, it is less in numbers and comprises of more nutrition. There are the amazing health benefits of musk melon. Musk melons are rich in potassium, which helps in regulating the blood pressure and keeps hypertension away. They have high doses of vitamin A and beta carotene, which helps strengthen the eyesight as well as sharpen it and reduce the risk of developing cataracts. Most melons have negligible fat content in them. They also contain the good carbohydrates derived from sugars which are easily broken down by the body. The muskmelons are super rich in vitamin C. They strengthen the immune system. They stimulate and increase the white blood cells which aids in destroying viruses and bacteria. They also prevent premature aging of cells. The high quality of vitamin C helps in the treatment and also prevention of ulcers. Vitamin C eliminates free radicals, thereby saving the cells of the body from becoming damaged by them and also preventing the risk of gaining cancer. It is also believed that they are good for ulcers and provide a prevention from kidney stone. They contain good amounts of fiber, which helps in a healthy digestive system and prevents constipation issues. It rejuvenates the lungs and helps the body recover from nicotine withdrawal faster. The muskmelons relax the nerves and muscles of the brain, which suppresses sleeping disorders like insomnia. Eating muskmelon increases the flow of oxygen to the brain, which eventually makes our brain calm and stress-free. Muskmelons have anti-aging properties which makes the skin glow and become acne-free. Vitamin B content and an adequate amount of protein in the muskmelons strengthens your hair and your nails. Muskmelon does have anticoagulant properties because of the presence of adenosine within it. Adenosine is a blood thinner which further prevents blood clot creation and protects you from heart-related problems. Add muskmelon to your diet to gain refreshing benefits from this fruit. But these are my brothers, this was muskmelon for you.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi azzaru. Today's fruit, you know, as the name was difficult, you could just call it an orange. You know, there's all these types of oranges. All these types of oranges. But do you like oranges, Surbai?
Alhamdulillah, it's the sweet.
I love oranges. Alhamdulillah, I drink fresh orange juice nearly every single day. And this is something which, mashallah, my brother used to make me each and every morning. Anyhow, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my mother for all her minor and major sins and grant her happiness and success in the akhirah, and also for all of anybody's relatives, parents, children, brothers, sisters who may have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these du'as in their favor too. Now, Pastor Bhai, the topic is guests. What would you like to leave the audience with?
Just like to mention one or two points before we finish, that guest is a means of blessings for the host. And there's different narrations. I'm not going to go into great depth of it. Just briefly, I'll just mention that the Prophet mentioned that the guest comes to the house and he brings his sustenance with him. But when he leaves, he takes away the household sins.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is one narration that's coming, springing to mind. There's another one which is mentioned, I think it's narrated by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that they mentioned that when a guest arrives at somebody's house, he brings blessings. And the way he brings blessings is like a knife goes down the kuhan, is it the neck? Down the neck of the, sorry, down the back of the camel.
Allah.
The kuhan. You know how, because it's sloped downwards, and how quick something would come down from the kuhan.
Okay,
from the,
right.
In the same way, that's how quickly blessings
Allah descend upon the household where there's a guest there. SubhanAllah. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, in fact, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna min as-sunnati an yakhruj ar-rajulu, that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a man leaves his house ma'a dayfihi, as along with his guest, ila babid dar, towards the door. meaning it is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to see your guest out, to go to the door to see your guest out and watch as he leaves. Now, alhamdulillah, this is also something we used to have, and we have with our elders, but we don't have as much anymore. Remember, my dear viewers, this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Please try to act upon this sunnah.
Here it mentions regarding, why it mentions this knife, and regarding the camel. And the reason it mentions it because there's no bone in between that area, and the way the knife, how it quickly, it's giving like an explanation how quickly.
So I'm indicating for it to stab through, rather than fall, for it to stab through because there's no bone there.
The way quickly it comes down is giving you like an indication how quickly.
An analogy.
An analogy, yeah.
Subhanallah. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah, today we were speaking about guests. But don't forget, we shall be back tomorrow as we are each and every single day on Rise and Shine. Continue to keep this one thing on your mind, that you must praise the greatest of mankind. But also, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, don't forget, continue to watch Madani Channel each and every single day, and make it the only channel you watch. For now, that's all. We shall be returning tomorrow. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.